Office hours are now open. Welcome to the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. Send me your feedback to adam.petersen@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to the show. Whether you are sat at home desperate to get one or sat staring into the screen at the office desperate to escape to a better one, job hunting is something we've all done at some point in our careers. And with the Quality of Work survey suggesting job satisfaction is at the lowest level for a decade and unemployment increasing 8.4% year on year to March, the amount of job hunting is likely to go up. But what is the best way to hunt for jobs if you can't get to the job fairs or need a break from the finger food at networking events? Do you need to look beyond LinkedIn? And if so, where? And with the rise of AI, how do we connect a real person with real skills to a real job? To help me answer these questions and more, I'm joined by Richard Neal, Director of Let's Recruit, and Raluca Stoica, Chief Product Officer at RMT Labs. So regular listeners will have heard Christos Floris mention RMT Labs on a recent episode. So let's start there. Raluca, what is RMT Labs and what does a Chief Product Officer do?
RMT Labs, it's a scale-up in Luxembourg. We are based in House of Startups. We started with consultancy services and recruitment, and then we thought that it's very important to develop also a product specifically for recruitment. This is how we manage to develop Skillborg.
Okay, so you mentioned scale-up, so that means you're a smallish company. So how many people are you at the moment?
Right now we have 30 employees and 10 contractors.
So RMT Labs, then one of the products you have is Skillborg.
Yes.
So we'll get into what Skillborg does specifically in a minute. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, tell me quickly, what does the Chief Product Officer do?
It's quite broad, I would say, because I'm also involved in different other areas of the company, sales and recruitment also. But what I am trying to do along with my husband to keep like a helicopter view on what's happening and what we are planning for our product.
You've got a background in recruitment as well.
Yes, 7 years.
And Richard, tell me a little bit about Let's Recruit.
Let's Recruit is a platform that I've built through experience of actually recruiting day to day over the past 25 years. I'm trying to understand where things have gone wrong for both the job seekers and the employers, and really finding solutions for that. And last year I put that all together and designed a platform called Let's Recruit.
25 years as a recruiter here in Luxembourg?
25 years in total, and around 21 years of those in Luxembourg. So I arrived in Luxembourg at the end of 2004.
And your recruitment experience, Raluca, that was all in Luxembourg?
No, it was also in Romania.
And you arrived in Luxembourg?
In the pandemic, 2022.
And when it's really difficult to move house, right? Okay, so let's just then help me understand, what are the gaps your products are trying to fill? So what was the need for Let's Recruit?
I've interviewed thousands of people. One of the key things I was asked was, I'm not actively looking, but please bear me in mind when any roles that might be suitable to my profile come through, so I can be aware of basically what the market is like and I don't miss out on any opportunities. Yet these people aren't going to be going to job boards, job fairs. They're not actively looking. Having done subsequent surveys on LinkedIn, our own candidates at Redbridge Recruitment, 70% of people are inactively looking. That's a large part of the market.
Let's just dig into that then. So Redbridge Recruitment, there's a link there. So what's the link between Redbridge Recruitment?
I started Redbridge Recruitment in about 12 years ago in 2014. And that is a recruitment firm that focuses purely on financial services. So we focus basically middle management and upwards for banks, private banks, asset managers, law firms, etc.
And then it was in that experience that you found people that would kind of, I've had this in the past when a recruitment's been on the phone and something, and I said, oh, well, keep my profile on file and get in contact, see if something comes up. And I've never had a call back. Either my skills aren't right or they generally aren't very good at doing that. Is that the problem you're fixing?
I think it is, but it's also, as a recruitment consultant, you've then got to understand what the likelihood is of that person moving. So if they come to you and very casually say, look, keep me informed, it'd be good to know what's going on, that's great. But as a recruitment consultant, you've got a job to do, which is filling jobs for your clients. So yes, you want to provide an excellent service to the job seeker, but if someone's casually saying, please let me know when jobs come through, is that really going to help your business in recruitment or not? So that might be why some people don't get those calls back.
So 70% of people inactive then. So how does Let's Recruit then help fill that
gap? So what we've realized through that was people don't want to especially in such a small market like Luxembourg. They don't want to make themselves known that they're looking, of course. So doing that confidentially is very important. We've created a platform where job seekers can register. They fill out what they have done, a bit like a typical LinkedIn profile. Most importantly, they then fill out what they want to do. And at the end of that, they can put their whole profile as anonymous. So their name, current employer, past employers, university, contact details, everything gets taken off. And then employers can search those profiles. Most importantly, they can see what they want to do as well as what they have done. And they can contact them then to say, hey, look, we've seen your profile. It looks fantastic. We can offer what you're looking for. Please get in touch and we can set up an interview. And the job seeker then is put in a situation where they can say, yep, this sounds fantastic. It's my next dream job. And they can open up their profile, respond to that employer and start the interview process. Or they might say, do you know what, actually, timing's not quite right because I'm about to go on holiday or about to get married or whatever. Thank you, but no thank you. And so they can see what's happening. That ideal job hasn't gone past them, but they had the opportunity to say thanks, but no thanks, without anybody knowing who they are.
So specifically that 70% of job seekers that are passively looking or inactively looking? Yeah?
That's the main area that we're focusing on, yes.
Yeah, and how's that different? So RMT Labs, I think, is an AI company. Is that fair? So tell me a bit about the problem that you're solving with Skillbook.
First of all, our approach, I would think it's more on the transparency. What I notice in recruitment is like a negotiation. In order to find a good candidate, you need to search a lot, and then you have the discussion with him, and it's kind of like, what are you offering to me and how can I be a good fit? And I'm trying to extract information from him and him from me. So Skillbook, what brings is honesty on the table. You have your profile with everything that you can bring to the company. Also, you can disclose if you need, for example, visa support, what are the salary expectations, if you want to relocate, if you need relocation support. So this kind of details that usually will take a lot of time to understand in conversations back and forward with the recruiter. Also, from the recruiter side, you have to disclose everything that is related to the job so the candidate knows exactly what's in it for him. This is what we are trying to do, transparency-focused platform, but also AI-driven. So we have this AI that scores and matches the candidates with the jobs.
So there's effectively static data, really, on what you want as a seeker and what the employer wants. And then the clever AI stuff is matching those profiles?
Yes, because we will use public data for the companies and they will have a profile in our platform. So it's very easy for the AI to fit also the technical part, but also the cultural fit. So the candidate knows exactly if the company will be a good fit for him. But he also needs to disclose what is he's actually looking for. So the whole discussion back and forth with the recruiter will be over.
So it's taking out the negotiation through a third party of, let's say you're a recruiter and I'm trying to get a job in Richard's place, then I'm having to kind of play these games where I want to reveal a bit of information but not too much, and Rich is doing the same thing, and it's just an inefficient process.
Yes. This is what I noticed in my career. Based on my experience, I needed to give some information in order to receive some information. So I think this is broken, in my opinion. It needs to be like a relationship. So you need to be like an open book if you want to work.
It will only match, though, for candidates that have put their information onto Skillbook and companies that are on Skillbook. They have to be on that, within that data area. I'm going to go a little bit further then into one of the kind of trickier questions is, isn't this landscape getting really complicated? Because there are other ones in Luxembourg, I think, alleyesonme.lu, skill.lu is potentially coming up as well. LinkedIn helps solve that problem because it centralizes everything. You have a one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. Why do we need these extra platforms? Isn't a one-stop shop kind of the way to go?
First of all, it's not a European solution. So I think we need something that it's European. And second, LinkedIn, it's more a social media platform than a recruitment platform. It started that way, but then it shifted the focus.
Yeah, it started really as a social network where you could keep contact with people. Then it ended up being, as you say, a social media, get pushed feed. And now it seems to be an advertising platform.
Yeah, I think LinkedIn certainly has had its place. And I think in certain things, information sharing now, as you said, kind of that social networking is important. However, it's not a recruitment platform. That is an avenue that they've discovered makes a lot of money, and obviously built on that. You know, LinkedIn at the moment is encouraging the one-click application. I would argue that is probably to the curse of most employers, whether you be in Luxembourg, US or wherever. So a job seeker can go on, go through the jobs, click once on the apply button, and your profile basically gets sent through to the employer of that company, which sounds great and very efficient and very good. However, when you've got somebody sat there that might click apply 150 times, it becomes a nightmare.
You have just stolen my introduction for the second part. So we're going to start the second part with exactly this issue.
Apologies.
So just on yours then, what's the business model behind them? Are they advertising their subscription services? Are they paid for by recruiters? How do they work?
So with Let's Recruit, it's a subscription service the employers pay. There's no recruitment agencies on the platform, and we're not allowing that. So it's a direct relationship between the employer and the job seeker. So the job seekers can register for free, and the employers are the one that pay a monthly / yearly subscription.
And Skillborg?
For us, it's also a subscription base for the companies, but also we will introduce later on when we'll have all the AIs for the candidate, also a subscription for them.
The other one site that's out there then, I don't 100% know how it works, is the ADEM job board. I understand that if a job gets posted through ADEM, and an employer employs them, there are benefits that they get. Maybe it might be reduction in social security contributions or some benefits to incentivize companies to take people who are currently looking for work and out of work. Are there any ways people will be able to use your platforms and still get those benefits?
Yep. So for us, if you are registered with the ADEM, you can highlight that on Let's Recruit, so employers are aware of that. Actually, then employers can search purely on that as well if they want.
There's always a benefit to then post the job on the ADEM website as well, because I think you actually need to post it on the ADEM website to get the benefits. I don't think it's just someone who is looking, although I may be wrong.
My understanding is as long as the job seeker is registered with the ADEM, and as long as the employer has registered their job with the ADEM, then they will benefit from the incentives and help that is provided.
Yeah, it's that point, the job has to be registered as well. So if you have a job and you don't register with ADEM, you only put it on Let's Recruit, then you won't get the benefits.
Absolutely.
If it isn't.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Great. So we've got into some of the mechanics. We know how they work. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll get back to that Tuya question that you left us with, Richard. Views, 51 applicants, and that was just in the first 4 hours. With over 50 profiles to sift through, I decided to pull the job advert. Welcome back to Office Hours. In part one, we looked at the world of online recruitment, and in part two, we'll get to the Tuya questions. And this is a point that Richard was making before the break. Those stats are from a job I posted about a year ago, and I was not only about to drown under the number of applicants, I was also astounded that 25% of people who saw the advert thought that they were going to be right for the job. In the end, I gave the job to the person who reached out to me with a personal touch. So the Tuya question I want to get into, we think as online recruitment as being more efficient, but there's a productivity paradox. More and more people apply, and then it makes it really inefficient for the recruiter who is just overwhelmed by application. Is this broken? How are your platforms going to fix this? Should we not bother with LinkedIn? Give me some advice there.
I think one of the funniest things actually about this is when I started recruiting 25 years ago, one of the key trainings was about you need to show to your employers and your job seekers, your candidates, you're not just a word matcher. And now AI is fundamentally basically word matching. So everything we were taught 25 years ago has now kind of full circle, and AI is doing it.
So when you say not just a word matcher, what does that mean?
Recruiters generally would get accused of looking at a job description, looking at a CV, and as long as accountant was somewhere in both, great, that must be a fit, and that was a candidate that was submitted. And that's how employers thought 25 years ago. I think our job back then was to try and say, no, we can add a lot more value than that. We're not just word matching. We're interviewing people face to face. We're looking at soft skills. We're looking at competencies. We're looking at the future, basically, for you to be able to provide the right candidates. AI at the moment, from my understanding, is very much a word matching solution, which is great when you have a situation like yours, when you're bombarded with hundreds of applications, and actually at that point you just want to narrow the filter down. And so the word matching process AI gives in that case is very, very good and very relevant.
So I worry that we're going to end up in this like AI arms race of these people with perfectly crafted CVs, with perfectly crafted cover letters. And then the only way that employers can sift through all that is by then employing AI to sift through the AI generated applications. So I'm looking at our chief product officer in an AI company. Am I right to be worried about that? What's the situation?
I think it's already happening. Yes, I've seen a lot of CVs that look perfectly, but during the interview, we realized it's not the case. So that's true. But word matching, I think AI is advancing a lot, and it can also understand context. And it's true, we were doing word matching because I think a successful recruiter needs to also have some technical background just in order to understand if that skill was used properly, exactly how the job description is required to do. But not everyone does. Most of the recruiters, they don't have technical background. So I think the AI can bring some real value here if he understands also the context. And I think we are going on the right path with that. So it will not be only word matching, it will be also reasoning.
The AI is trying to connect the preferences of a candidate with the preferences of the employer.
Also to understand the context. So if a company has a specific profile, then the AI needs, yes, word match for the skills, but also to understand how those skills were used in order to see if he really matches the job description of the company.
Is there a worry, though, with the use of AI where the biases or the thoughts of AI end up then being a self-fulfilling prophecy? So maybe there's a culture within the company that the AI has assessed is there, and it may only pick people of that culture in whatever dimension you measure culture.
I mean, for me, bias is like a very interesting buzzword. Yes, I think biases, if you analyze the word properly, they are bad. But there are also, now there are biases that are considered biased, but they're actually preferences and cultural fit for a company. So me as a company, yes, I probably need, I'm in technology, the reality is that it's like maybe 80% men. So maybe I want to diversify my team. So I want to employ more women. That's considered biased. But it's also actually something that will benefit the team. In my perspective, we need to understand more what bias is and not put a label on anything, on everything that it's.
So you're being really careful about understanding the difference between a bias and a preference.
Yes.
And monitoring AI to make sure that it is delivering on the preferences and not the biases, is that right?
Yes, I think we still need the human in the loop, because I don't think at this moment AI can detect 100% bias. And what bias is in the end? You can put a prompt, right? But the human feeling will be not replaced by the AI.
It's not a full solution, then obviously you're still recommending the human being involved.
Definitely.
It's kind of a point
of thing.
Richard, you said something that was interesting about you remove the universities from the people's profiles on Let's Recruit. Isn't it interesting to an employer to know which university that a degree is from? Because let's be honest, getting into different universities is different, and they signal a different level of experience and competence.
Absolutely it is, but I think confidentiality is probably more important at that stage in the job seeker's view.
So maybe because there's only a handful of people, maybe three or four people from a particular university with that degree in Luxembourg at this moment. So it stops people working out who that is.
Absolutely. It's to stop that identifier.
But then it gets revealed later in the process.
Yes.
That's right.
So as soon as that job seeker reveals their profile to the employer, then obviously all the names of universities and employers are revealed.
And you say the human gets, so a human will get involved at some point. In both of your models, I think that's a human in the hiring company and the human who wants the job, right? It's no intermediary human, which is different to a kind of traditional recruitment company.
That's right. So the relationship Let's Recruit is purely between the employer and the job seeker. And again, how we come about it, so when you just mentioned there about the AI part, Let's Recruit has very minimal AI at this stage. The way we've looked at it is AI is solving a problem that's being created by platforms like LinkedIn and things like that. And actually, we want to try and find the solution before that happens. At Let's Recruit, for example, we've made sure that people that are registered on Let's Recruit can work in Luxembourg, being number one. There is a separate database that people can search to see if they want to have people where they're willing to sponsor or provide visas. But the majority, it's about making sure they can work in Luxembourg. So that makes sure that the applications are narrowed down massively if people want to apply. So there are certain measures we're putting in place. So, you know, what you've just revealed on your LinkedIn adverts doesn't happen. So they're not having hundreds of applications, because then no human can look at all of those 100 and try and identify who the best people are. And I don't believe AI, you know, as Ruka was just saying there about bias and things like that, there's still a lot of work to be done. And I think an employer doesn't just look at the skills for that one particular job. Very often, employers will be looking at, you know, potential profiles for projects coming up in 6 months, 12 months' time, changes in systems, changes in regulations. So they might see profiles that might not fit that job right now, but in 6 months' time could do. And there's all these different anomalies that employers are looking for in applications that right now AI can't read. So I think it's imperative for everyone to stand the best chance, both the job seeker and employer, that it's humans that are judging humans rather than the other way around.
Such an interesting time. I had, as I say, Crystal Forrest from Monet on a couple of weeks ago, and they've removed algorithms from that social network to put the human touch. It seems as though people are either going like heavily into the AI or they're going heavily into the human element. And who knows? So we've got one going heavily into the human element, Richard, and Raluca's going heavily into AI. In the future, there may be a tie-up. Who knows?
I partially agree, because it's true. In our platform in Skillboard, we do have one-click application. But the AI can actually help screening all those CVs and give you a short list. So I think we need to use it properly. It's a tool in the end. It's a tool that we can use just to ease our work. And of course, after having like the 20 best profiles that applied, because you cannot look you by yourself to 300 applications. So the AI can do that shortlist for you. But then, yes, the human needs to be there to interview those 20.
Do you think it's getting fairer at the moment? I think if we go back when I entered the world of work, it was you needed to have the right skills for the job. You also needed to be able to write a good CV. And that was helping you get a job. And sometimes there's a worry that interviewing people who are good at writing CVs more than people with the skills. Are we at a risk now, as technology is disrupting so much, that the people who are going to get all the interviews are the people that are really good at navigating that technology, the technological minefield?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a risk. And I think you see on different social media platforms now, people teaching others how to do a Zoom or a Teams online interview using AI in the corner of the screen or on their phone next to it to answer the questions as they're being asked, and they've got AI answers coming up. So AI is really changing, I think, how recruitment is done for both the job seeker and the employer, and giving certain people unfair advantages. Some might say cheating, but I think these are things that really need to be looked at and addressed. And I think what you'll tend to find is that the probation period, certainly in Luxembourg now, are being a lot more closely looked at during those first 6 months of employment to make sure the skills and the competences that those job seekers were demonstrating can actually be fulfilled, and that it wasn't some, you know, AI in the background or just a very smartly written CV by AI, etc. So, you know, you really need to be able to walk the talk, if you like, to make sure you pass that.
I totally agree. I think we can already see, and the AI is not at full capacity at right now. So we can still see that everyone actually, I think, is rewriting the CV with AI at this point. And we had this MVP in mind because we wanted also to introduce AI interview.
Yeah, so minimum viable product.
Yes, minimum viable product for this AI interview, a technical interview. So we were thinking, and we already are testing some prototypes to have this interview that's only on phone. So if you look the other way or you are not facing the camera, then the interview stops.
That'd be harsh, because sometimes when I need to think, I find it hard to look, and I need to like look into the sky to get the inspiration, then it would stop. Oh, that'd be difficult.
Yeah, you need to look into the camera. So it's anti-cheating.
So we've talked about how it's been disruptive. If you had one piece of advice for someone to navigate job hunting, whether they're passively looking or actively looking at the moment, what would it be?
I think it'll be flexibility right now, because the job market, it's tough, I would say. Mm. I think if you are more flexible to relocate or to learn something, then the probability of getting a good job, it's higher.
I think for me, it would be a case of really think why you're looking for a new job. If you're currently in a job, I think the days of moving for a few thousand euros more certainly are over, as they were probably 3 or 4 years ago. So I think manage your career. Look at why you want to leave. Make sure that that can't be offered in your current employer. And really think and double think about, you know, the why aspect, rather than just jumping and saying, I'm a bit bored today, or my manager said this and I'm not too happy with that, and then suddenly starting the job hunt. Because I think sometimes, you know, a change is not always better.
Be careful what you wish for, you just might get it.
Absolutely.
Interesting. One of the first episodes I did on office hours was with recruitment consultants, like traditional ones. And Darren from Anson Wise, he said a very similar thing, which is like, be careful, your job may actually be a lot better than you realise it is.
Absolutely, grass is always greener. So
the other piece of advice I'm sure you'll give people would be to go onto your platform. So if people wanted to look at your platform or get in contact, how would they do that?
Yeah, skillboard.com.
Let's recruit.lu.
Brilliant. So thank you both for coming in, and thank you for the listeners.